Magandang araw, Podmates! Howie Severino muli na nagpapaalala na nakakatalino ang mahabang attention span. Ang guest natin ngayon ay may napakahirap na trabaho, si Undersecretary Jeffrey D., the Undersecretary of the Department of Information and Communications Technology na may malawak na mandate, but it includes cybersecurity and protecting our government tech infrastructure from hacking, which has already happened at an alarming pace. On top of that, more recently, he has had to grapple with deep fakes, a new danger. The very convincing mimicking of voice and face likenesses of public personalities, including the President of the Philippines. And just to disclose, I myself have also been a victim of deep fakes along with other GMA News practitioners. Magandang araw sa inyo, Undersecretary Jeffrey D.
Magandang araw sa iyo, Howie, at sa lahat na nakikinig at nanonood ng iyong podcast. Ano? You're right, maraming GMA personalities and talents.
Yeah, well, it's a global phenomenon now, USEC, no? But, you know, we're small fry, kaming mga news personalities compared to the president, of course. So let's start off with the deep fake of the president. This is just a couple of weeks ago, no? His fake voice was calling on the armed forces to take action against a foreign country. Na deactivate na yung video na to, no? Hindi na kumakalat, hindi na mapapanood, no? But of course we know it will not be the last attempt. Walk us back to that incident, USEC, no? How did you find out about it, and what was your reaction and the reaction of your department, which is supposed to prevent that and address those kinds of issues?
We have tools that actually scours the internet about whatever is happening. If somebody is shouting out to assassinate, for example, a very important personality like our president, we actually have a monitoring system for that. So in this particular instance, nasa isang grupo kami with the Presidential Communications Office, NBI, you know, NB intelligence apparatus. And then on that weekend, we monitored a vlogger who was saying na may nakita siyang video. Pinag-aanda na ng ating Pangulo daw, Armed Forces, upang mag-retaliate doon sa neighbor natin sa West Philippine Sea. Now, we know for a fact as senior government officials that any type of policy statement to that effect should have at least went through vetting process. So, nagtanungan kami. And we realized that now it's fake. Hindi naman siya 100% copy ng boses ng presidente. But for those who only hears the president from the news, medyo pasado na. It really sounded like him.
So USEC, nabalitaan niyo tong deepfake ng Pangulo from a vlogger who believed it to be true. Naniwala siya.
Well, at least that's the story, no? Kasi ang kasunod nun is we preempted it spreading out. Kasi lumalabas na eh. So we ask YouTube and Facebook to stop its spread. YouTube naman. In 24 hours, they kill the channel, and every time that video resurfaces, they use AI also. So it's AI fighting AI. They use AI also to detect if that video resurfaces. They don't delete it, but they stop it. Nagiging private agad yung setting para hindi makita ng publiko. It was not prevalent sa Facebook, but we also called Meta, and Meta said that they are also monitoring just in case the link appeared there. In broad strokes, we were successful because marami in the first few days, hinahanap yung video. After pumutok sa news, hindi siya mahanap nga dahil it was a cat and mouse thing, you know? Lalabas for a few minutes or even an hour, tapos madedetect ng AI ng YouTube, papatayin siya, no? Ipa-private, i-restrike agad yung viewing. So I think we were successful in making sure that it did not spread out. Up to the point, of course, that we already informed the public that there was the existence of this video. So that, kung mapanood mo man, you are already armed na hindi talaga sinabi yun ang ating mahal na taon.
Okay, well, you know, we may have just been lucky, ano? We dodged a bullet, kumbaga, ano? But who knows how others might have reacted kung tumagal yun or, YouTube did not deactivate the video instantly, di ba? Siguro, may sarili silang mga, siguro, investigasyon. And of course, the news, the video had to reach you before you could react, and you had to make this decision. So, may mga ilang, at least may nuto,
correct.
No?
Correct. Siguro kalahating araw at the most. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's a pretty long time for something like that. Kumbaga, a kind of a declaration of war or even an order to attack, etc. How worried were you when you saw it or naisip mo kaagad na ato makakontrol natin kaagad ito?
Well, of course, the first thing that came to my mind is first we have to verify the news. Nangyari ba talaga ito? Hindi. Even though I'm an undersecretary, there are a lot of things that happens in the halls of Malacanang that I may not be privy of. After all, it might have happened, right? But the entire government is just one chat or phone call away. We work together very seamlessly kahit gabi. So I basically called an assistant secretary of the presidential communications office, which they readily denied. And then after that, we called the National Security Council and then they said, no, we don't think that's true. So after we confirmed, we put things in motion. PCO immediately denied that using their official SOCMED postings. They already said, no, okay, maniwala rito. And then we went public about it to inform the public. But you're right, Awi. That's an important note. Ano? We take all of these things seriously. It just so happens that this particular event had a far larger impact. Because it was the president. It was the voice of the president. And of course, the statement of the president is official. Basta sinabi niya yan, that is already a statement of policy. So importante na ma-prevent natin ito from happening. Let's make some things clear. Any type of AI misinformation or disinformation, including to our friends in media, including even to our loved ones or relatives, are important. Yun nga lang. Because they are massive, I think, yan ang magiging susunod na point mo. Unfortunately, our resources can only focus on a few, which in this particular case, the office of the president.
Of course, Yusek, no, the flip side of this is kung sa susunod na okasyon na may sasabihin ng Pangulo na importante, baka wala nang maniwala, no? Kasi it could be something very urgent that's real, but because nakaranas na tayo ng deepfake, baka yun na nga, parang boy who cried wolf, no? Yan ang isang posibleng effect nito mga deepfake na to.
That is correct, Awi. So, dito actually papasok yung importansya ng institusyon. The institutions that held transparency and the integrity of data and information at a very high standard. And I am talking about proper journalism. Like what you're doing. Also, even the government journalists, no? The government media broadcasting networks. Ang message sa atin, mga Pilipino, is always look at the proper sources. Halimbawa, if you're talking about Awi Severino, then look at GMA 7, right? Or in his proper URL, yung proper site ng kanyang mga podcasts. If you see it in Facebook na medyo, sino ba itong, di ba? I mean, nobody should speak in behalf of Awi. Except Howie himself. So, yun lang yung message ko. So, if it is the office of the president, then either it is RTVM, di ba? Or PTB4. Yun usually ang source niyan eh. And of course, by extension, the Malacanang Beats, which is ably represented by all major media networks. Nakilala mo ah, alam naman natin yung mga sources na ito. And we should focus there. Ang problema kasi natin is that we focus too much on social media. We were victims of the scrolling. Alam niyo yun, nakita mo lang yung post ng kaibigan mo, tapos before you knew it, 2 hours ka na pala nag-scroll down. Huwag tayong tumingin ng truth sa internet basta-basta. So that's what my message would be.
Okay, itong gumawa ng deepfake ng Pangulo and the same person or persons or maybe organization is probably creating deepfakes of other people. That is a crime, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Yes. So, ano po yung liability ng taong ito? And is it possible to find out who is doing these things?
It is possible to find this out, but it would be very difficult. So, we're leaving that up to the law enforcement agencies, such as the NBI, the PNP, to be able to root them out. We can determine who created the video. Magkaiba pa yung true attribution. Diba? So, ang attribution is sino yung nag-post. Ang true attribution is sino ba talaga ang original source. Yun yung mas mahirap sa internet kasi kopya. Diba? So, hindi mo na minsan makita yung original source. But I will let the very able NBI and PNP handle that. Now, with regard to your first question, the prosecutorial service of the Department of Justice has various tools which they can use para dyan. Ano? So, there could be a identity theft under the cybercrime law of 2012. There could also be some other provisions in the revised penal code which they can use. Usually kasi ang ginagawa ng DOJ dyan, kung ano yung worst na pwede nilang i-apply. If it is found out that it is part of a larger conspiracy, then it could be also inciting to sedition or some other treasonous acts, if just in case. Huh? Because we're talking about, I'm not saying definitely, but that will depend on the evidence. And remember, we're talking about the office of the president.
Yes. Yeah, well, before we leave this particular incident, no. So, ano yung latest dyan? Meron na bang suspect? How far are we in, finding this person, filing a case, and, just as a warning to others who might want to do the same thing?
I'm sorry we cannot disclose the full details of the investigation, but I believe the NBI and the BNP already have persons of interest, which they are investigating. So they already have leads, and hopefully these are the real perpetrators. Medyo mahirap kasi i-determine who among the many posters is the source. Now, ang maganda naman dito is that, of course, you cannot create a YouTube account without giving out some form of information. Some information might be fabricated, but still, you made the effort of creating impersonated identities. So at least may mga leads na ang ating law enforcement.
Okay, there are a lot of scenarios about the elections. I'm sure you've been giving these some thought, Yusek, no? Ano ba yung mga scenarios na nakikita natin for disinformation, deep fakes that will try to influence the elections?
I'll just give you a hypothetical scary thought. A candidate saying he or she is withdrawing from the race. And let's do this on a very ungodly hour. Let's say midnight before the polls open. So meron ka nang, you have very little time to actually verify the information. And you know how chismis runs, no? It's even faster than the news. Actually, that's how disinformation works. Disinformation doesn't work in the long term. It doesn't. Kasi in the long term, may mga lalabas na ng mga analysts, may mga lalabas na ng mga, who has the mental fortitude to actually say, mali yan. Pero it works kapag kamabilisan. When we're talking about hours before the actual polls, that's how it works. Another thing is, magsabi ang isang kandidato laban sa kabilang kandidato na talagang magbabackfire sa kanya. Very lewd, very wrong statements that even questions the morality of that, the ethical and moral principles of that candidate. Pero actually, hindi niya ginawa yun. Di ba? Pinapalabas niya lang na tinitira niya yung kabila. Pero hindi siya gumawa. Di ba? Yung sinasabi mo kanina, okay? O pwede kasing hindi totoo, pero maniwala ka na eh. At hindi lang yun. Kahit i-deny niya, di ba? The other would say, oh, siyempre, dinideny mo kasi nag-backfire. Di ba? Nagkikreate ka ngayon ng scenario na lose-lose situation for that particular candidate. So, we're thinking in advance about this. That's why in social media, we're talking to Facebook, we're talking to YouTube. And according to them, by May, they will be launching an AI labeling scheme. Kung baga, kapag ka AI generated yung video or yung audio, they said, they will also use AI to fight AI. So, may lalabas doon na probable AI generated or probably edited.
So, are we expecting it anytime soon or did they give a date?
I think, sabi by, by mga third week to fourth week of May. Nauna yung Facebook, ahabol yung YouTube.
Okay, well, so far, we've been discussing deepfake videos, no? Yung likeness ng tao, yung mukha ng pangulo or other personalities with their voice saying something they didn't say, but may mga nababasa ako na yung next generation yung audio lang, no, audio deep fakes na magkakaroon ng robocalls
may tatawag, yes,
sa ating mga mobile sounding like somebody we know, sounding like somebody in the news, etc., no? So ibang klaseng creature ito, Yusek.
That's correct. Now, we're already monitoring this abroad kasi if it happens abroad, it's not far off na mangyari sa Pilipinas. So now we're talking about cybercrime, di na cybersecurity, cybercrime. Ang crime kasi is actually an enterprise. Usually, may gumagawa ng tool, binibenta niya. At kapag ka naging madali na para sa lahat na gawin yon, then it becomes a common crime. Sa ngayon, hindi pa siya common. But it already happened in the United States, it already happened in Europe. And just recently, it happened in Hong Kong where somebody in a voice call, in a conference call of C-level executives, they thought they were talking to their CEO. And the CEO ordered a transfer of money in the millions of dollars. They did it. Yung pala, in that particular conference call, wala yung CEO, it was a Romo call. So yes, this already happened in other areas. And so we are expecting that this will also happen sa Pilipinas. Yung mga tools na yan, pag nahawakan ng mga kriminal, o pwede nang gamitin sa Pilipinas.
But so far, Yusek, excuse me, so far, Yusek, wala pa kayo nababalitaan sa Pilipinas na nagaganap ng... Okay.
Wala pa, pero ito yung very, ano, very concerning. Pansinin niyo kahit sa, ano, sa Facebook, may nakikita na kayong mga jokes na AI-generated where our past presidents are discussing with each other. They were even singing. Now, notice how easy it was to do. They can do like once every 2 days. Every other day, they do that. Plus, pwede na mag-Pilipino. Taglish. Conversational Taglish na yung AI. So, ito yung nakakatakot eh. Kasi that means, yung culture mo, kaya na niyang i-assimilate and therefore it becomes conversational. Therefore, mas mahirap na siyang ma-detect.
Okay, may mga kongresista and other political personalities, they're advocating now for legislation against deepfakes. Do we need a law? I mean, sabi niyo nga, krimen na to, no? Yung mimicking the president and having him say false things, no? Krimen na yan, obviously, you know? So kailangan pa ba natin ng legislation dito?
Yes, we do. Let's put this recent deepfake event into perspective. Yung nangyari dito, di ba, hinahanapan natin ang kaso. Maghahanap tayo sa revised penal code, ano ba to, identity theft, etc. Because technically speaking, walang nagsasabi na krimen, yung kumopya ka na mismo. Wala eh. So if we can criminalize that particular act by itself, di ba, hindi mo na kailangan ng intent. Hindi mo kailangan ng intent ng conspiracy, for example, to call or conspiracy to perform seditious acts, for example. The very act of creating an AI copy of somebody's voice, dapat yun, bawal na yun. Kasi assuming na hindi nga yun for evil intent. Pero pag may nakakuha, di ba, pwede niyang i-splice and pwede na siyang gumawa ng replicas or some other product out of that copied voice and copied video. Of course, I'm just saying that this debate should be at the forefront of the discussions with legislators. Vis-a-vis our right against freedom, our right on freedom of expression. Ako personal ko na ito, Awi, hindi naman ako for censorship. Pero dapat inform ang publiko. Dapat alam niya, AI ito ah. So, you understand what I'm trying to say. So, yun lang yung kailangan i-balance eh. And to be honest, I don't envy the discourse that is going to happen in Congress. In fact, Awi, marami ng bills no, na nandoon na. Na-predict na ito ng ating mga kongresista as far as 2 years ago. Merong bill to expand the powers of FTRCB to censor even yung mga streaming media and social media against disinformation and misinformation. Yun nga lang, naging one up yung ante. Kasi ngayon, hindi na siya disinformation lang eh. Kinopya talaga eh. Talagang kinuha yung boses at saka yung itsura para magmukhang ikaw. Pero hindi naman talaga ikaw.
Well, okay. Well, that's kind of reassuring na may ganitong conversations na in our political sphere before it gets out of hand, no? I mean, sabi nyo nga, may serious damage na nagaganap even in the corporate world in other countries, other places. Pero sa atin, mukhang wala pang mga ganong klaseng incidents. So there's a way of creating more guardrails before that happens, no? In the meantime, alam ko, Yusek, you've also been preoccupied with the hacking of our... some government yes. Websites, no? So that's already a current problem, no? And in previous interviews, you've said that some of these hacking attacks, you know for certain that they came from China, not necessarily the Chinese government, but from Chinese hackers, networks in China. Can you share any updates about that? Maybe some more investigations or information about these hacking attacks on government tech infrastructure?
Yes, Awi. So last February, there was we monitored a spyware, no, which is, spying on the access credentials of our government mail exchange systems. This actually happened the same time that Google and Microsoft was being attacked in the United States. nagkataon kasi that our government mail exchange system is housed in Google. So I think they used the same attack to encroach into our government mail systems. We immediately responded to it. It was like a cat and, again, a cat and mouse game. Palagi naman ganyan pagdating sa cybersecurity. But we managed to get it under control. And you're right, may tinatawag kasi kami sa hacking world na TTP, you know, yung tactics, techniques, and procedures. The tactics, techniques, and procedures employed seems to belong to advanced persistent threats associated with Chinese APTs. Again, you're right. We're not saying it's the Chinese government, but they are well-known Chinese APTs, which even China, in their database, says that this looks like criminals within the that frames that description.
Yung nga, Yusek, no, you clarified that you know, you're not saying that this is the Chinese government doing these cyber attacks, no. However, can we expect at least the Chinese government to help us, the Philippine, and help the Philippine government track down whoever, whatever is orchestrating, engineering these attacks from China? You know, as in the spirit of maybe friendship or diplomacy, tinutulungan ba tayo? Are they offering to cooperate, to help the Philippine government in tracking down these people who are doing it?
I think a help was extended through our Secretary of ICT. The embassy did call the secretary and they were offering help. In terms of concrete help or how this can be done, we need to turn that out. May mga computer emergency response teams na inter-country and we usually communicate. For example, we communicate with Japan. We even communicate with the computer emergency response team of Taiwan and you know, Australia, etc. We don't have that particular setup with the Chinese. So with the Chinese, what we usually do is we escalate it to the Asia-Pacific Computer Emergency Response Team Consortium. And then we get the response. So I think you're right. The proper way of doing this is to have this sort of mechanism where we can call each other and de-escalate. Because, this is a very sophisticated attack. And we wouldn't have known it without the assistance also from the private sector. I'm very thankful also to the private sector and also to our other nationalists. Alam niyo, may community of hackers. I know there is an underground community, but there is also a group of professionals who are very nationalistic who helped us out also in trying to lead that.
A white hat hackers.
Professional white hackers who helps us.
It's good to have allies like that, no? Well, yeah. I want to ask you about TikTok, Yusek, no? Because in the United States, yung public conversation there, at least in some congressional government circles, is ibaban ba yung TikTok, no? Or i-regulate ba? I-restrict ang access, halimbawa, ng government mobile phones to TikTok or even ban it altogether as has happened in some other countries? Because supposedly, control over TikTok can be traced to Chinese companies, no? Na hanggang ngayon, medyo malabo pa kung ano talaga yung involvement ng China sa TikTok, no? But kayo ba? I mean, do you think TikTok is a security risk and should there be some kind of restriction over its use? Should the Philippine government be considering even banning TikTok? You know, we're one of the biggest TikTok users in the world.
Yeah, first things first. There is no discussion in banning TikTok for the entire Philippines. None. Yun lang gusto ko i-clarify. However, there is discussion regarding the use of TikTok for as official social media platform for government agencies. Okay, so you can allay that fear. There is no discussion yet whether we will ban TikTok for the public. Ang discussion ngayon sa gobyerno is it enough or is it right to use TikTok as a government communications platform? Kasi kung papasinin ninyo, karamihan sa nasa loob ng TikTok is informal. And the problem with being informal is that sometimes when you're too relaxed and comfortable discussing, and I know you know this, Sawi, because that's what journalists try to do, no? You make us comfortable. So para may scoop, di ba? Para may masabi kami na hindi namin dapat sabihin. Yet, yan yung nangyayari kapag ka-informal. So that discussion is revolving around that. And of course, we're also talking about yung ownership structures nga. But our position in the ICT is that this particular problem is not only TikTok, but extends to other applications as well. For example, we also would like to call out Telegram. Because why is it that most of the hacking incidents, the leaks, are being released by Telegram? I'm just stating out a fact. It's not Viber. It's not Messenger, right? It's not Signal. It's always Telegram. Look at almost all the apps, not only here, but also worldwide. So this particular, also we're calling out Facebook. I've already called Claire, the Meta country director here, and I told her that, you know, that Messenger is also being used for, Facebook Marketplace is being used for prostitution. And so we would like to control that as well. So we are calling out any type of application that is being used for illegal, for either for illicit activities or for certain activities which we think is not appropriate. So yes, there is discussion in TikTok. I don't want to preempt the discussion. I'm sorry, Ovi, but we have to be statesmen also, and we have to respect also the opinion, especially of the other government officials who wanted TikTok banned at least as a government platform. So we're having that discussion. But for the public, of course, you can still use it. May end up gonna bago. That also goes for Telegram, because yeah, it's being used by hackers. We also know that the API of Telegram is exposed. So maybe Telegram should also not be used by government officials. That discussion is also on the table.
Well, okay. Thank you for bringing up messaging platforms, because a big part of the population are also using messaging platforms to communicate. And sabi nyo nga, you know, not all of these are, you know, they're not all equally secure, or they may be all equally insecure. But I'm just wondering, are there particular messaging platforms that you would recommend as some people are considering the various options now? You know, there's Messenger, there's Telegram, there's WhatsApp, there's Viber. I mean, many of us are on multiple messaging platforms, but if there was something that we would want to keep secure, or there's a messaging platform that, you know, we can trust, would you be at liberty to say, Yusek?
Mahirap na ba kay call out ako? Pero ang sabihin ko na lang is that, like I said, na yung hackers are using Telegram more often. That's one, no? We know also for a fact that there was a leak of keys that happened in WhatsApp. But that was like last year or 2 years ago. WhatsApp said that they already fixed it. So the same goes true for Facebook Messenger. In terms of technical capabilities, the iMessage of iPhone has very strong encryption. At pinagmamalaki nila that they haven't, you know, surrendered their keys to any government agency or any government law enforcement. So that's very reassuring. But however, iMessage is only secure if it is iPhone to iPhone communication. Kasi kapag iPhone to Android, the security cannot be guaranteed. So those are some of my technical assessments for the public out there.
I want to pivot a little bit, no? Kasi nga, in a previous interview, you talked about, you know, the drastic shortage of cybersecurity professionals in the Philippines, no? Considering the kind of threats that we're facing today and the kind of scenarios that you outlined for the future. You know, it's not just government who will need cybersecurity professionals. Of course, the private sector, academia, media, you know, everyone will be needing it. Is there a way to encourage more talented, patriotic Filipinos to go into cybersecurity to protect the country?
So that's the type of behavior we're nudging the industry towards. For example, just last week, Friday, we had the launching of HackForGov, which is actually a government-sponsored hackathon. So, yeah, nagbago na tayo. Meron na tayong hackathon. We're inviting college students to form teams of four. We provide a box where they can safely experiment with. And those with the highest points, which means the number of flags they captured, wins. And hindi lang ito na humihinto rito. We're doing this the entire year. We're going to do region by region. We're going to be announcing winners per region. And then on October, it will culminate in a national hackathon where each winners of the region will participate. And the winner will send to Thailand for the ASEAN hackathon and elsewhere, because we're also being invited to some mga hackathons. But we're not stopping there, Javi. Gusto ko lang masabi na this is an achievement of this administration as well. When we first came in, there were only about three bachelor's degrees in cybersecurity. There's a lot of trainings in cybersecurity, but only three colleges or universities offer bachelor's degree in cybersecurity. Yung iba, computer science, pero walang cyber, no? But now there are more than 10, which means that there is now a growing number of bachelor's degree or higher education institutions that are offering cybersecurity. Hindi ko na kinakaut yung master's. You know, master's is not really technical, no? It's more about going towards the philosophy of things, managing things, right? So we really wanted to drill in to the technical. That's why we're counting the bachelor's degrees. We need about 300,000 in about the next until 2028.
300,000.
Yeah.
So how far do we have to go? How many do we have right now? May estimate ba?
Malayo pa. I think we only have siguro mga 10,000 or less cybersecurity professionals. Hindi ko na binibilang isa gobyerno ha. I'm talking about the entire kasama na private sector. You know why we need that much people? Because cyber attack is going to be mainstream. In fact, sinasabi na namin sa PNP, dapat lahat ng cyber attacks hindi na siya centralized to a special unit like PNP ACG, Anti-Cyber Crime Group. Dapat lahat ng presinto marunong mag-handle ng cyber crime because it is going to be a main crime, hindi siya special crime. It's going to be the next common crime. In fact, nangyayari na ngayon, 'di ba? Scams sa GCash, phishing, etc. So we need that many professionals, not only in government, but also in the private sector.
So Yusek, what can you share about your own professional journey? How did you end up in the DICT?
So I'm a CISSP, no? Certified Information Security Systems Professional of ISC Squared. I think there's only like 209, less than 300 CISSPs in the Philippines. Medyo mahirap exam. Back then in the 1990s, when I was in college, kasi wala pang ganyan, so I took applied physics. But I did through the certification path, no, CCNP. For everybody, this information actually came from the private sector. I only joined government 5 years ago. So talagang ano ko, trained in the private sector. And ang karera ko talaga, usually before you go to cybersecurity, you have a certain specialization. So my specialization is network engineering. So I know how to build this, you know, BGP or OSPF, etc. So for the private sector. And then pumutok na nga nung 2000, yung mid to 2010, etc. Yung cybersecurity, information security. I took the chance, no? I took some certifications, I took some trainings, and I took a master's degree. Here I am. But ang gusto ko sabihin lang, ano, is that there is a lot of people who are enamored with the mystical world of cybersecurity. So enamored, in fact, that they would like to test their skills using black hat orientation. Ito po sasabihin ko sa inyo, madaling gumamit ng tools pang-hack at i-hack ang isang government agency para sumikat ka. Ang mas mahirap maging ethical about it. It's like firing a gun. It's easy to buy one illegal gun, fire it, be very good at it. But being a law enforcer, being in the military, for example, who can fire your weapon at appropriate times only, perhaps never in your life, pang training lang, yan yung mas mahirap. So I would like to invite everyone who wanted to pursue their professional journey in cybersecurity. Wag po kayo mag-focus sa black hat. Mas mahirap po maging ethical or white hacker. So dun tayo sa light, wag tayo sa dark.
Wise advice, Yusek. So I just want to ask you, as a final question, your department, the Department of Information and Communications Technology, is one of the newer departments in government. No? Ano yung priorities and main concerns ninyo as a department?
Ang priorities natin is to build the infrastructure. So if you look at layers, no, bago ka pumunta sa application, which is yung e-gov namin, nandiyan yung e-gov app, I'm sure you've heard of it, the national ID, nasa tuktok yan eh. Sa gitna niyan, data centers. Diba? So kung paano magagawa yung application kung wala kayong gitna, which is data. So makikita mo yung priority namin. We wanted to go to the upper layer, which is how to make government efficient by providing a citizen's app so that ang bawat isang Pilipino hindi na pipila. Meron na silang app para mag-transact sa government. Pero before ka umabot doon, you need data management, data centers, and then you need connectivity. Right? So ayan na, makikita mo yung priority. Connectivity is infrastructure. Make no mistake about it. Internet is very physical. Cable, wireless access points, etc. And so we're doing all of that. Plus, of course, kung lahat ng ito gawa na, dalawa naman ngayon na natitira. Training, para magamit mo, so upskilling. And security, para alam mo you trust using that application so that you trust that you can use the services being offered you in the internet. So yun na, binanggit ko na yung limang priority namin. So e-gov application or the citizens app, data management, the infrastructure or connectivity, then supported by upskilling and cybersecurity.
Okay, this has been very enlightening, Yusek. We want to thank you for your service and for shedding light on these very urgent problems, no, of deep fakes and hacking, etc. Undersecretary Jeffrey D of the Department of Information and Communications Technology, maraming salamat po. Mabuhay po kayo.
Maraming salamat, Howie, sa lahat ng nakikinig. Maraming salamat. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening, Podmates. Download this episode so you can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Stay safe, Podmates.